Welcome, Dumbheads, to MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. In this series, we are examining every single goddamn page of Palladium's Beyond the Supernatural RPG to determine what is the dumbest thing on that page. Every episode is one page, every episode is short. If you'd like to play along at home, this is Beyond the Supernatural 2nd Edition, the first printing from January 2005. Today we're discussing page 65 of Beyond the Supernatural, and you know what's very rare? A serendipitous headache, but that is what I have right now. I have a serendipitous headache because today we are talking about something that very often flies under the radar on the podcast. We often talk about the big stuff. I try to focus on things that the lay listener who, number one, maybe is not intimately familiar with Palladium games or role-playing in general, and number two, has maybe not been listening to this show religiously every day throughout its run. I want to pick things that those people will be interested in. Those people need big ideas, clear-cut rules problems, setting elements that don't make sense, and that conveys a lot of the frustration of reading Palladium games, but what it doesn't convey is the constant low-grade headache of monotonous filler, hacky writing, just pervasive wrongness and carelessness. Reading a Palladium book, very often, if you do it for pages at a stretch, it's like listening to a monologue from someone who has cheese stuck in their teeth, whose position relative to you is such that you can't tell them they have cheese in their teeth. That's the Palladium house style when it comes to prose. Speaking of monologues, I guess I should point out here, we are still discussing the ordinary person psychic character class, but it almost doesn't matter for our purposes today because we haven't hit any rules yet. This page is just introductory, and it's introducing the concept of an ordinary person, which I think we're all pretty much familiar with. I mean, maybe I'm ordinary, maybe I'm not. Opinions may vary, but I can play it in a role-playing game. You know, if you hum a few bars, like I don't need to take Muggle studies. I was homeschooled, but after years of hard work, I've figured out what a normal human being does. So this page is just full of the author trying to explain to us what an ordinary person is. It's not like a pyrokinetic or a negapsychic or a latent psychic or one of the many other imaginative classes in this game. It's just an ordinary person. And so all we really get is rambling on, just a long, unblinking look at the author's prose style and therefore at the cheese in the author's teeth. And today, since I've got this serendipitous headache, I don't need to act here. I can do this method. I can just express to you the frustration of reading page after page of a Palladium book by offering you a few choice tidbits from this page-long filibuster on the topic of what normal people are. So first of all, this page begins with the end of the extended quote that we talked about last time. No need to rehash that here. But just to set the scene, we've just finished hearing about poor little Tina and how she was shockingly abducted when she was alone at the playground at 9 p.m. down by the Canning District. So that's where your head is at as you enter into the rest of this page, which explains to us a little more about what regular people are. Well, first of all, regular people tend to get into monster hunting or monster investigating or whatever because they themselves had a brush with the supernatural. And some people deny it or end up in mental hospitals or whatever, but a lot of them accept the truth and take action. It says here, quote, "They accept that the supernatural is real. The demonic monsters stalk our streets, and that madmen summon demons to draw on their power and or command them to do evil. They know that there are ghostly beings and entities and impish fiends that invade our homes just to mess with people." Just to mess with people. "Throughout this world of the damned, our very homes are invaded by dark spiritual forces who are just dicking around with our stuff." What it says here is that once you've realized and accepted that the supernatural is real, there's no government agency, there's no hotline, whatever, so you just got to do something about it. And as it turns out, for all the talk we've had throughout the rest of this book about how hard it is to be psychic and feel compelled to fight the supernatural, now that we're talking about ordinary people, it's somehow not so difficult to get into the monster hunting game. Quote, "It's not their goal to convince people monsters are real. Their goal is to find and help others in need. Victims of the supernatural, you see, need no convincing that demonic horrors or dark magic are real, and seldom turn away a helping hand even when it comes from an unexpected source, like Joe Nobody." My aching serendipitous headache. Listen, we spent like half of this book up to this point, as you know, listener, as you know, talking about how goddamn difficult it is to get people to believe in the supernatural, even, like, let a rampaging ghost have their fingers around your goddamn throat, people still will not accept the supernatural. this book has been saying this and saying this and saying this. And in fact, the last time it said it was, let me think, paragraphs ago on this page, that most people who encounter the supernatural just choose to disbelieve in it and they refuse to accept the supernatural. But now here it says, hey, how are you supposed to pursue your ghost hunting slash ghost investigation career or calling when you're an individual with no magic spells, no psionic abilities, just a regular person, as it says here, a quote, Joe Nobody, and you're cold calling people coming up to the door with your baseball cap in your hand saying, hey, I can't offer any meaningful help. Would you like some with your demon problem? And people all of a sudden are just like, fuck yeah, come on in, Joe Nobody. Don't worry about trying to convince me that demons are real when you have no magical powers or psychic abilities yourself. I just have pre-accepted it. I have pre-approved you to burn a lot of sage in my house, chase my dog around because she's got the devil in her, whatever you need to do. Because if I hadn't, there's no adventure. If I hadn't been suddenly and shockingly open to the existence of the supernatural and pre-convinced that it needs to be destroyed, then you, the player character, are fucked, because then you're basically like a Jehovah's Witness, except instead of trying to convince me that there's a beautiful plan for my life, you're trying to convince me that my missing kid was stolen by vampires. That would be such an awkward conversation, but fortunately we don't need to have it. Come on in, have some tea. Let's whittle some steaks. So that's just like one example. It's just one thing. Continuing on. Next paragraph. Quote, that's right, half to three quarters of the people who are actively involved in the investigating of the paranormal and supernatural don't possess psychic abilities, magic powers, or a Harvard education. First of all, I don't see what a Harvard education has to do with it, since an ordinary person may very well have one. Secondly, headache. Math. Okay, so half to three quarters of the people investigating the supernatural in the world are ordinary people. I'm not even going to do this math. I mean, listen, I've got a serendipitous headache. You got places to be. We've done this before. Every time this game trots out math like this, it is absolutely nuts. It is crazy. Go fuck yourself. Three quarters of the investigators of the supernatural are ordinary people. When you tally this with the number of psychics who are supposed to exist in this world, this is like crazy numbers. I'm not going to show my work on this one. Just trust me when I say that if you do the math and you tally it with other numbers that we have from elsewhere in this book, you can figure that there are as many active, like, field agent monster investigators, not like idle hobbyists, but active, serious field investigators. There are as many of those who are regular people and aren't psychic at all in the United States as there are like people employed in the life sciences. And if you include psychics in that number, you're getting up to the level of like maybe 200,000 monster investigators, like serious monster investigators in the United States. That's as many as there are like writers and editors as of 2018, which is like the latest numbers I had. Apparently, being a professional monster hunter, it's as common, if not more so, as being a paid writer. More frustrating than the result of the math, though, as usual when these things come up, is why even put a number to it? Maybe I want to play the only regular person who had the balls to fight demons when everybody else is a medium or a wizard or a diviner. Maybe that's my thing. Maybe I want to be the Xander in a group where everybody else has powers. They're a vampire slayer. They're a witch. They're a wish-granting demon. They're British and hot in a dad way. But just me alone, I'm the normal one. I'm the Xander. Maybe that's what I want. But as it turns out, sorry, canonically, we had to come down with an official ruling about how many Xanders there are. And it turns out 3/4 of monster hunters are goddamn Xanders. So there's nothing special about me, even in my unspecialness. Thanks a lot. You know what's not great for a serendipitous headache? Boring math that requires you to carefully scour an entire ill-organized Palladium rulebook when you're on a deadline, that's what. Moving on. Almost the whole right-hand column of this page is full of details about the Laszlo Agency and the Laszlo Society. The Laszlo Agency is a secret global organization of 40,000 people, posthumously founded by Victor Laszlo because he's just that much of a badass. And the Laszlo Agency employs and dispatches field agents to investigate the supernatural. I'm not going to get into a lot of detail about it here because there's a section for it later. We're going to talk about the Laszlo Agency at another time. In fact, we're going to get math about the Laszlo Agency too. Do you know what percentage of the Laszlo Agency is psychic? 64%, and that's not including the magic users. So where would be a good place to introduce the Laszlo Agency and talk a little about it? Why in the ordinary person section, of course, the section for non-psychic heroes. Why are we talking about this now? Well, it's because some members of the agency, and many more members of the Laszlo Society, which is a kind of web forum periphery to the Laszlo Agency, which it says gets 420,000 hits a month, which I guess is supposed to mean something like members, because it's supposed to be 10 times as big as the Laszlo Agency, even though that's fucking not how web forums or organizations work. The Laszlo Society has many more ordinary people in it. Now, not all of these people are really monster hunters, per se. In fact, those would be like your Laszlo Agency types. These would just be regular people who have an interest in, like, trade information about the supernatural. Not really player characters, per se. Not ordinary people in the psychic character class sense. Just ordinary people who exist in the world and use the internet. Why are we talking about them? Why are we talking about any of this? Who can say? What I do know is this. Quote, many actively skim newspapers, magazines, the internet, and watch the televised news with an eye and ear cocked for things that may have more to do with the supernatural world than our own. They keep their eyes cocked, do they? Their eyes and their ears. Extra attentive. They won't miss a thing with their eyes cocked at the television screen. I don't know why these people even need a website to find each other, because if something comes on the news about Bigfoot and you see somebody cock their eyes, you know that's a fellow Bigfoot enthusiast, because that's an extreme reaction. Maybe there are regional differences in this phrase. I don't know. To me, you don't, in the normal course of events, talk about cocking your eye at something. And if you look at the history of the phrase cockeyed, which, of course I did, just now, yes, with the headache. I mean, it's who I am. Look, it's not pretty. This is the sort of thing you get to see when you are a listener to Make a Dumbcast. Me at my worst. Of course, I looked up the history of the phrase cockeyed just now. And one thing it can mean is squinting, like I am at my laptop screen, through this persistent-ass headache. It can mean dubiousness, or it can mean, like, dumb-ass wide-eyed optimism and credulity. When you say that something is cockeyed, you normally mean that it's maybe a little off, a little gullible or unbalanced. I guess you could say that in its sense of squinting, it indicates being skeptical of something, which could maybe apply to being skeptical to the cover story given on the news about paranormal events. But that's a real stretch when the image of the ordinary person just tilting their whole goddamn head like a dog at the news because somebody mentioned UFOs, it's right there and it's compelling. This is just the wrong phrase to use here. One of many slightly wrong phrases and awkward uses of language found just throughout this book. Anyone who's done any kind of like editing of other people's writing, there's a lot of things that fall into the category of like, this isn't exactly an error, but just take it out, please. could you rewrite this or don't say it? I don't want to get into a big thing about it. Just believe me when I say you don't want to write this. Anyway, yada, 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 more about the Laszlo Society. At the very end, last paragraph, it says of ordinary people, quote, whether members of the Laszlo Agency or free agents, their ages range from 16 to 92. Their occupations from stay-at-home mom or retiree to factory worker, professional psychic, cop, or college professor, and everything in between. This is the final paragraph in the introduction to what an ordinary person is, which I remind you is a perfectly obvious thing that everyone knows. This whole page is unnecessary. And what does this final conclusive paragraph tell us? That ordinary people's ages range from 16 to 92, which is false. As we will see, there is explicitly an option to play child ordinary people. There are special rules for this. Their occupations from stay-at-home mom or retiree to factory worker, professional psychic, cop, or college professor. College professor would seem to fight with the idea that people who go to Harvard don't count as ordinary people. Also, professional psychic would be a hard job to hold down when you're not a psychic. Also, I'm not entirely sure retiree is an occupation. I could go on and on. Every page, virtually every paragraph, is low-grade, frustrating to read, and will just give you a headache. And I hope I've conveyed at least a taste of that today, but I've saved the best for last because conventionally we do like to save the dumbest thing for last. And I guess I wanted to end on a high note. Amid all the dross filling these pages, occasionally one finds a gem. And here's the gem on this page amid the author's praise of the ordinary person. Quote, these ordinary people are only ordinary in the sense that they neither possess psionics nor wield magic. In truth, however, they are extraordinary because they have the courage to look into the face of the Gorgon and dare to say enough. Ah, yes, looking into the face of the Gorgon, that classic test of highly effective heroism. Is there a worse image for what the author is trying to convey here about ordinary people monster hunting? Only they dare to ingest the arsenic of truth, perhaps. What a fucking disaster. Like, every page. Listen, just a little bit of advice for the ordinary people in the audience, of whom I must have a few. Don't don't look into the face of the Gorgon and say enough. Like, I appreciate the sentiment. I appreciate that you're not being a bystander, but just don't look into the face of the Gorgon and demand that it stop turning people into stone already. That's not how this works. Anyway, on that inauspicious note about the chances of mundane monster hunters in a psychic's world, join me next time for some details about why people get into this ill-advised monster hunting habit on MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. This has been Mega Dumbcast. New episodes drop every day except for Sundays, when all the previous week's episodes drop in one big megasode on the top-secret Patreon-only RSS feed. If you'd like to get access to that RSS feed and support the show, go to patreon.com/megadumbcast. Contact or check out the show wherever you want. I am Mega Dumbcast on Twitter, Instagram, Gmail, Podbean, your favorite podcatcher, etc., etc. MDC, Palladium Books, Beyond the Supernatural, and all associated trademarks are property of Kevin Zambita. This season's theme song is Horizon Ending by Soft and Furious, whose work you can find at loyaltyfreakmusic.com. Dumbheads, I will catch you next time.